Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Thirsty Thursday party at Buffalo Wild Wings, as we do every week throughout the Texan season. We're up in Willowbrook Plaza, up off Tomball Parkway. 17195 Tomball Parkway, to be exact. Come on through, hang out with us. Plenty of room. We've been at this location many a time. It's always a good time. Crowd thickens up a little bit as we go along here. We got all kind of giveaways. Ron's already given away a couple of things. I hadn't been keeping track of it, but we got another gift card.
We got two more four packs of tickets for the U of H Texas A&M exhibition game and the big one.
It's a basketball exhibition game,
right,
by the way, that's a benefit. All the monies raised will go to those affected by Hurricane Beryl. So not only some really, really good basketball, top-notch basketball programs of late, and as well as a good cause. And boy, U of H has been improving and becoming one of the better atmospheres in college basketball. Obviously, I'm not trying to put them up there with some of the top arenas to play college basketball in, but they are one of those places that is a hell of an environment to watch college basketball. And I know you've been a few times, Ron, but that's a big time giveaway right there. And also,
absolutely,
you mentioned the tickets.
Proceeds.
No, the tickets to the Texans.
Oh, yeah, the Texans. Yeah, the final. Yeah, that's the big one. Big one. Texans, Lions, Sunday Night Football. Got a pair of tickets to that game. Also, a pair of wristbands courtesy of Bud Light to kind of get you going with a little tailgating, free food, free drinks as well. So that's the big one in the 5 o'clock hour.
All right, well, last week was a rough look for the Texans, and we've already moved on from it. But when Bobby Slowick speaks on Thursday, I think some of the most fascinating audio that we get is his responses to what happened the week before. And I just greatly appreciate his honesty and the real talk approach that he seems to have about what we watch. Now he took the bullet on the play call. We covered in pretty good detail the most disappointing part of last week was the ending of the offensive drive at the end of the game, as well as the entire defensive possession when Green Bay went down and scored. But I think the most controversial or the most disappointing play was a play where Bobby Slowick, D'Amico Ryans, everybody's been asked about it, but where C.J. Stroud throws a 10-yard out route to the sideline in a situation where he was going to be short of the sticks. It was going to be a fourth down situation where you were kicking the field goal anyway, and it was a bonehead move simply because you allow the Green Bay Packers to keep a timeout, knowing you're going to give them the football back and you've only got a two-point lead. All they got to do is get in field goal range and kick a field goal. A lot of people question what the Texans were trying to do during that drive. D'Amico Ryans said they were trying to score. C.J. Stroud said they were trying to kick a field goal. So the confusion there I think is disturbing. But nonetheless, Bobby Slowick did speak today and did talk about that last play call, which has been the focal point of a lot of the disappointment with what happened with the Texans last week. Here's the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, talking about that play.
At the end of the day, I didn't call a good play. You know, what they played is not at all what I called the play for. And that stinks for me as a coordinator to look at that and be like, man, this play call stinks. You know, like the players kind of got to save me here. And that happens sometimes. And sometimes you get the opposite. Sometimes it's end of game against Tampa Bay last year, and I call a play with really one option, and they play the coverage I'm hoping for, and we score a touchdown.
There's a lot of times that it is a guessing game, Ron. I think you hit the nail on the head here. I think Bobby Slowick's taking a bullet for C.J.
Stroud. Oh, this is Dusty Baker.
This is, yeah, good call.
This is
players' coach, right, taking the bullet. But this is what we've talked about multiple times. This isn't necessarily a negative thing, but it's the next step for C.J. Stroud, right? We've talked about this. Like, at some point in time, particularly in situational football, C.J. Stroud is going to have to take command of that situation. And whether it be a play call or something that happens in play, and he has to make a hair trigger decision. At some point, C.J. Stroud's got to take, and I'll use the word ownership in those types of moments, and make sure that that whatever gives us the best chance to win a ball game is ultimately what's at least attempted. Right? I mean, you can't throw that. You said it earlier, like the decision of C.J. Stroud pre-snap to drop back and throw a 10-yard speed cut out route on 3rd and 13, there's so many layers to that he should know better. And so, yes, maybe it's a poor call. But if you look at the play, Dalton Schultz is coming across the middle, and C.J. may have been able to squeeze that in there. As good as he is, I would say that he could have. But the point of C.J. taking that next step, although he hadn't had many opportunities this year with how much pressure he's been under, that is what needs to happen sooner rather than later for this football team.
Yeah, listen, I think partly of it, he was taking a little bit of the bullet for C.J. Now, Clint, I do think he wishes he could have the play call back. I think parts of me believes he wishes he could have the play call back.
The thing is, Ron, 3rd and 13, there's only so many plays.
15.
I mean, there's only so many plays.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's – you wish you could have had the two runs before where guys just got blown up and then that play call and put yourself in a little better position to possibly go for it, a little better position to take shots to the end zone. But, yeah, it just – I think the big picture here is not to – I just refuse to pile on that particular play call. Bobby Slowick was not good, but that play call was not the issue.
I thought that last play, and Bobby is taking some of it. I thought that last play was a real, a great example of there's everybody can take a piece into what is happening with this offense. I think Bobby Slowick, it would have been better for something, either a run straight up or something that was more. All right, guaranteed to keep the clock running or screen, something that you knew would happen, that maybe you break or something and you get. But to think like, all right, man, we're just going to drop back and I'm going to just try to pick up 15 yards when I already got a 35-yard field goal in my back pocket is probably more important to get rid of that timeout. I think he wishes he could have that back. But I think a part of it that went into it was that I can trust C.J. Stroud to make the right decision.
Yeah.
To make the right decision. And that just wasn't probably what he envisioned would be the outcome of that play, and that he would make that decision to throw it short and to the sideline. So I think that was offensive line struggled in the first two snaps to put him in a position where they lost 5 yards on two runs. So I just think that was a prime example of how everybody can take a piece of what is happening with this offense.
Sure. I've said it before, there's not a whole lot that I can point at C.J. Stroud, but that is definitely one of them. And it was in the biggest moment, right?
I mean, the
Titus Howard blows a protection, C.J. Stroud
kind of like last year.
Derek Stingley playing soft consistently. Like, you had some big-time players in the final moments of that football game really, really playing bonehead football, man.
Kind of like last year. I remember Bobby took it on the play call. If you remember against the Bengals when they almost got back into the game when C.J. threw a pick and it was almost a pick six.
Dang it,
but he was
Bobby.
Trying to hit Tank to get a first down in a similar situation late in the game. I remember coming back, Bobby took that. Oh, that was on me, a bad play call. But he called it because he trusted C.J. would make a better decision. So
yeah, the other thing about that Bobby Slowick did speak about today that's been a major topic of conversation this week was the overall protection issues, the offensive line issues. Of course, he leaned into, hey, we've seen every one of those pressures from D'Amico Ryans and his defense throughout training camp. And he leaned into being on the road and the noise being a little bit of an issue, which, again, I think all of that is just excuses for an offensive line that is playing as piss poor as you possibly could play last week, if we're being completely honest with you, from a pass protection standpoint. So, but he believes that they can get it fixed. Bobby Slowick believes they can get it fixed. Nick Caserio believes that it's an easy fix. I guess I'm out on a limb by myself. I just don't think it's as easy as they make it sound, but we shall see.
Bobby better have him a good day. it's coming down on him.
Bobby.
Like Bobby and the offensive line are 1A, 1B. I don't know which one is 1A or which one is 1B, but both of them need to have a better response to the game, or I think this is going to get worse for them.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no doubt Bobby's going to be front and center, but there's also something there we briefly talked about on the post game with, you know, Nick Caserio gave out some big contracts. They went out and D'Amico's part of that. You know, you gave out Titus Howard contracts. You gave out a Laramie Tunsil contract. You gave out Steph Diggs contract.
Daniel Hunter contract.
Yeah, I mean, these are guys that you've got to – boy, you got to be the reason you're winning, not one of the reasons why you're underperforming. So there's a couple of different storylines that'll get real loud if they don't tighten this thing up and get better. All right, Ron, let's turn the page here, man. Talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. It is a monster game this week. Literally, the lead in the division is on the line. The Indianapolis Colts have played really, really good football of late, winning four of their last five football games. Now, they've had a quarterback juggle there between Anthony Richardson and what's
Joe
my
Flacco.
Man? Joe Flacco. There you go. Appreciate it. I had his face in my mind, and I couldn't think his damn name. And we've seen this song and dance before, right? He got us one time last year, Flacco did, but it looks like Anthony Richardson is going to be the guy now. And barring any kind of injury, he'll be the one that you got to deal with. But here is just a little peek behind the curtain of what's going on currently with the Indianapolis Colts from Nick Caserio, the Texans GM. Let's start, Tyler, with that offensive cut and what
Dick LeBeau?
Yeah, not Dick LeBeau. No, Nick Caserio. See what he thinks about the about the Colts offense.
The one thing you notice about this team, they're a very battle-tested team. They've won four of their last five. They lost their first two games. Every game has been a one-score game. So they've figured out a way to win these last 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it's been. That's credit to Shane and the staff for putting them in a position. And they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. I think some of the things that we're going to see, I mean, we saw week one, but, you know, Buck hasn't played here a little bit, but there's a chance Buck's going to be back, who he always presents problems on the defensive side of the ball. JT's been out here for a little bit. He's probably going to be back. Anthony played last week, so I mean, Joe, I'd say, filled in very admirably. I mean, Joe went out there and showed why he's a really good player. And the one player that hadn't played, that didn't play week one, which has been a significant factor, is Josh Downs. So Downs is a really good football player. I think even though he's only played three games, he leads him in receptions. So here's a guy didn't play, but he makes an impact at our offense. I mean, it's kind of standing the offensive side of the ball. You know, Pierce leads the league in yards per catch, so he's not a high volume catcher, but the way he impacts the game, I mean, they launched a few over our heads. He was the point of attack on a few of them. So the explosive play element has been a big part of their offense, and they've had a lot of success, you know, in those areas.
He talked about Pierce. He talked about Downs. Didn't even talk about Pittman or Adonai Mitchell. They got a pretty damn good receiving core, Ron. If they can get the quarterback position right with Anthony Richardson and I will be honest with you, I fully expected them to be. And I know he's been injured in and out again, but boy, I surely expect them to figure this Anthony Richardson thing out by now. But when they're hitting on all cylinders, it's a pretty nasty offense.
Well, I think based off their history against this Texans team, and that's, you know, through two games last year and you know the first game this year, I think they come in very confident against this defense, and especially we're talking specifically offensively. I think they come in very confident, because the first time they played last year at NRG, you know, Anthony Richardson, I mean, had a first quarter where he had two rushing touchdowns, was 6 for 10, was throwing the ball before he got knocked out, and then Gardner Minshew came in and they continued, and then the second time they, you know, with Gardner Minshew in there. I think they probably felt like they shot themselves in the foot a little bit, and they played well with their backup. And then even this year, they put up 27 points and probably left two touchdowns out there as well. So I think they come in very confident as an offense against this defense.
That was Nick on the offense. I know he started with Buckner, but the defensive side of the football, here's Nick Caserio on a little update on what's going on in Indy.
And then defensively, with Buck back, everything's going to start with Buck and Grover Stewart. So it kind of starts on the inside with those two. And then Zaire and EJ are, you know, they're second and third on the team in tackles. And Nick Cross, safety, leads the team in tackles. And they've kind of had to deal with some moving parts there on the perimeter or the secondary. Now, the one guy who they acquired, they claimed at the deadline, Samuel Omack, who was in San Francisco, has kind of stepped into that starting corner role opposite Jalen Jones, yep, with Brents being out. And then that leaves Kenny Moore in his role. So they're a good team on both sides of the ball. And then Coach Mason does a really good job in the kicking game. And they blocked a punt against us in the first game. So their ability to rush and create havoc for the punt team, man, that's going to be critically important. So it's a really good football team that's battle-tested, that's won four of the last five, and this game's for first place. So, I mean, to your point, going back to the beginning, Mark, there's a lot on the line here.
Somebody check with John Lopez and Figgy Fig and Reginald Atitula. Is it havoc or havoc?
Havoc.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that.
Now, that doesn't say anything. I mean, I'm an old hayseed now. There ain't no telling. But havoc? Have you ever heard havoc?
No, I haven't. That's the first time for me. Havoc.
I'm going to have to ask Reg about that.
That's a lot about Dick. Dick's a real nickname guy. I mean, that Buck, DR, which is weird for me. I just can't call D'Amico Ryan's DR. He is a nickname guy.
Yeah, and he changes because I've heard him called D'Amico Miko too.
He's really been DR.
I got to get to the bottom of this havoc stuff.
Buck.
I mean,
Buck.
If I've been saying havoc wrong for 46 years, we got some problems, boys.
Awesome. Havoc.
Havoc, man. Yeah. WCW called it Halloween Havoc. Maybe they should have been calling it Halloween Havoc.
All right. Packed a little more punch, doesn't
it? Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll be hooking somebody up with a $25 gift card coming up after this next segment. So if you're in the building or you're on the way, make sure you get your name in our raffle box for your chance to win, as my man is walking up getting his name on it right now. Coming up, we've had this conversation a couple of ways here in the last week or so. It's got to be submitted. Anybody in Houston, you got to be at some point, if you're pulling for the Dodgers in this series, and we'll give you ample reason. This is just insane. From Brian Cashman. If you missed it earlier, you don't want to miss it. We'll discuss that coming up.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, and we are same location, back-to-back weeks here at Willowbrook Plaza. Right off Tomball Parkway. Come on out, have a good time with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, and you can be here a lot longer. Enjoy the atmosphere as they have everything you need up here. I'm looking at this. I have never had Southern Comfort.
You've never had Southern Comfort?
Never had some SoCo in your life?
Did your voice just shoot up that high? Like, I didn't know that was going to get you there.
Well, I mean,
that surprises me.
That surprises me.
Does it? Yeah, I've never had Southern Comfort. Good.
I mean, I haven't had enough to, and hadn't been recent enough for me to tell
never
you whether it's good
at,
or
never,
not. I'm not buying a bottle anytime soon. Yeah. But I don't. I mean, Tyler'd be the one to ask about that.
It was a life experience as a teenager in Baytown.
Teenager. Yeah.
So it's got a real Mad Dog era vibe to it, huh?
It'll put some hair on your chest now.
I ain't never had it. I never had that. No, never had the Southern Comfort. I looked at that right there. Never been my thing. But Buffalo Trace next to it, I've had it. Not the Southern Comfort. So, but no, come on out here. They've got, hell, if you want, what'd you call it, Tyler? You said
SoCo.
If you want some SoCo, they got that there for you. And anything else that you need, come on out and have a good time. Win some prizes. As we said, after this segment, somebody is getting hooked up with another $25 Visa gift card coming up as soon as this segment ends. So hang out and stay tuned with us. All right. I know if you've missed the turd list, Tyler's gold medal, which – I mean, I really got away from Tyler. And Tyler, you have been this whole time, and many other people. I'm just not root for anyone. I hope it ends in a tie. I hope they both lose. If you haven't heard.
Just give us a meteor.
If you haven't heard Brian Cashman, the general manager, the guy whose job has been on the line seemingly the last 5 years every year, but he's hung on. If you haven't heard what he's had to say, if you got to be rooting for Shohei Ohtani of the Dodgers. Like, the last team you want to see win this thing is the Yankees, because I think they'll continue, especially if they'll continue to say things like this. Listen to this: that the Astros got nothing to do with what's going on right now in the World Series that starts tomorrow. Nothing to do with it. And here he goes, Brian Cashman, the general manager. He's been the general manager since Jeter was there. Listen to what he has to say, and just brings up. But then he's a real kind of punkish about it, because he don't say him by name. But he brings up the Astros in a way you know who he's talking about.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
It's not how it starts. Pennant, how does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing, because it doesn't. It completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing, because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Maybe he's talking about the Red Sox.
I'm gonna be honest.
They didn't whoop that ass as much as the Astros did.
I'm gonna be honest.
He
with y'all,
just broke that up.
Yeah, but Ron, like this really does it for me. Like, I'll be honest, the fans and even the media up there,
you're used
bringing
to
up the, well, but it's just like,
but you're used to them doing it.
It's tired. It's, I know why they're doing it. You know, a lot of them are doing it, just to get clicks. And so for me, it's just one of those, like, I just refuse to pay it any attention. But this I can get down with. As an Astros fan, to think that the Yankees general manager is, I mean, they are on the verge of a World Series.
Not winning
a World Series, but literally being in a World Series. And he's taking 15 to 20 seconds of his day to take a shot at the Astros. But you want to talk about living in Buddy's head? Just,
who's your
just
daddy now?
Flat out rent free.
Should like I say the Astros?
But he's really mad about it.
Oh yeah, he really believes. And the crazy thing is, this is a baseball dude that's lived in the world of just shady ass baseball. Like that. That's the crazy part to me is the dudes that are in the game. And coach the game, GM the game, they know how filthy baseball has been for years. I mean, and all of a sudden they're going to single out the Astros like they were the only organization doing what they were doing and nobody else was doing it. And it's this holier than now league that
really, really happy.
Come on, man. I just most of it I don't subscribe to, but the general manager whining about it on literally. The day before game one of the World Series is
I hate
is
the
golden.
15-year thing. I hate
yeah,
it.
He is really.
Tyler, you're right. It is so whiny, just super soft.
But the wild thing is, clearly you wonder how much they as an organization over this run where they have it. I mean, they haven't been in the World Series since A-Rod played in 2009.
Yeah.
Sounds
great. These ancient daddies, Yankees.
But you would think that when you hear him say that and how he still, like, there's nothing. Mad Dog Russo, hey, man, how's it feel about being,
Russo's not even trying to leave him there.
No, hell, he didn't. Yeah, he wanted to go there. And the thing is like, clearly, I don't think they have been really taking a lot of, accountability for them losing these series.
Right,
you can tell that they've probably been saying, no, man, the reason why it's been 15 years is because we've been cheated multiple times. I mean, hell, there's a part of the person that I maybe understand the most is Clayton Kershaw. With Clayton Kershaw's most devastating pitch is that curveball, and nobody swung and missed it at one time in that start that he had. Outside, but even that, like, this year is, man, this – ain't nobody even talking about the Astros. Where did this come from? I mean, you just came
rent
out of left
free,
field.
Ron. Free in them domes.
And then to me, if you're going to do it, man, just say the team. Say the team. Like, say the Astros.
Yeah, say it with your chest.
Yeah, that was a...
But the other part of it, guys, is like... you can tell, like, he's dead serious.
He's dead.
I could laugh if it were just like if he were just talk answering the question and then kind of just winked and kind of said,
that was not tongue in cheek.
You know what was going on a couple years back. You know how I kept it moving. But my man, like he was talking about a divorce he went through or something. I think he was passionate about
Clint,
it.
He was the right follow-up question away from going on a rant.
Yes. Agreed. And Mad Dog didn't fall for it.
I'll tell you what, them fellas up in the Bronx are real good at talking loud, but they ain't good for much other than that.
Yeah, it's to a point where it's like they're like fans get. You know how fans if their team is lost and they will completely 100% blame it on officiating.
Yeah.
They're like literally blaming all of it on that. Every year it seems like since 2009 that they haven't made it, even though it's really thought to be just going there. Like it is wild to me that he is still that fired up about it. All right, coming up, we got to get into the Rockets. They had their opening game yesterday, and it started out really really well. And it did not end as well. We'll discuss the Houston Rockets as we continue, and we'll have our latest winner coming up as soon as this segment ends. Our latest winner coming up right here live at Buffalo Wild.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wings.
Let's go, Rockets.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our latest winner as she just won a $25 gift card, Visa gift card. We still have a couple of more things to hook folks up with.
Yeah!
That's right. Give her a hand. Clap it up for us. She's our winner.
Well, it's always fun to win, ain't it?
Always fun, yes. So if you want to win, we still have two more four-pack tickets to the Fertitta Center to see U of H college basketball take on Texas A&M in an exhibition game. All proceeds will go to all the people affected from Hurricane Beryl. But you can go out there and watch two top 25 teams. I said top four. Apparently, for some of you all on YouTube and Twitch, top five wasn't good enough. You wanted to point out that you're four in the preseason polls. So sorry. Houston, top four. Four team in the country. By the way, Kansas is the top one team in the country if you were scoring at home, Clint. But top four team in the country versus the top 15 team. I think, Tyler, I think they're in the top 15 in the polls, at least in the top 20, Texas A&M. So should be high-level fun entertainment to go check that out. And, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour, the final one, the tickets to the big game Sunday night football to the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. You got a chance to win those tickets and also a couple of wristbands for tailgate, free food, free drinks, courtesy of Bud Light. By the way, our good friends at Bud Light are walking around. They've got some maybe some drinks. And some prizes, some things to swag stuff to hook you up with, so you can come out and have fun as well with them. All right, Clint. Last night, I said that the Rockets they got to go ahead and take care of a Charlotte Hornets team. Well, they did not. They were winning. They had an 18-point lead at one point in this game, Clint. They lost the third quarter by 7, then lost the fourth quarter by 9, and end up losing that game, a game in which Jalen Green goes for 28, 2 rebounds, but not a single assist. He was 5 of 15 from 3 and started firing them up. Not as bad as the 2 of 11 from Fred VanVleet. By the way, you won some money with Fred, didn't you, Tyler? Just got it. He got to 6 assists.
Yeah, baby.
He got to 6 assists in that game, so I know you were close.
Appreciate you, Fred.
Right there. Yeah, Fred got to a just firing him up mode there for a second, so he wasn't worried about getting two more assists to screw you over. But he was 2 for 11. Sengun, 25 and 18. And that 18, he was the only person rebounding in that game. 5 assists, but he only scored 2 points in the fourth quarter. So, Clint, to me, a very, very disappointing loss. Obviously, there are 82 games, so they got 81 more of these things.
Let's go Rockets.
But to me, Clint, it's very, very disappointing when you play a team like that, you have a lead like that, and you just paid Jalen Green over $100 million. You just paid Sengun over $180 million. And, Clint, you know it. In sports, hey, it goes up a notch once you start getting paid. There's a different level of expectation. And when you got those two guys making that money, to me, you just can't have LaMelo Ball clearly being the best player on the floor all night. Clearly. He's plus 14 in the fourth quarter, and Jalen Green is minus 10 in the fourth quarter. So, to me, that's the most disappointing part of this. I thought we were beyond letting LaMelo Ball just dominate a fourth quarter with the guys you had.
Yeah, that was a painful watch in the fourth quarter. There's no doubt about it. My man Calvin Murphy in the post game said, "Whew, I didn't see that one coming."
I didn't either. I didn't.
But look, buddy kicked it. Oh, Kevin kicked it to Calvin. Calvin said, "Whew, I did not see that one. I thought he was fixing to break that thing down." He just, I mean, he was almost at a loss for words because they played so well defensively in the first half. Sengun was really, really good in the first half. And then they come out and lay an egg in the second half. Like, I tell you, the most frustrating part for me watching, because I agree with you, when you pay those guys that kind of money, like, you expect them to be more finishers and be a factor down the stretch. And clearly, that wasn't the case, right?
Because KD said, Ball. If KD comes down and gets you in the fourth, all right, man. Yeah. You know, some of these guys
can't be Ball. But I'm going to tell you, I was disappointed in VanVleet. Like, and not because of the box score. I had no idea
that he was 2 of 11 from 3.
Because I missed most of the good part of the game in the first half. I watched the second half. Like, the thing for me where I was frustrating is where it was frustrating to me was, like, to me, like, one of the top roles that you have for VanVleet with this team is to control the game, right? In critical moments, not even throughout, just in critical moments. And last night in the fourth quarter, when it was clear that the Rockets were in trouble, you know, Fred's out there missing threes. He's turning the ball over. It's one of those where I expect him to be a guy that grabs the ball and takes full command of the court and settles things down and gets the Rockets in a situation where they can kind of gather themselves to give themselves a better chance to win. And he was a non-factor down the stretch as well, if not part of the problem. And so as I'm watching, VanVleet for me is a guy that I expect to, at the very least, I don't care what the box score looks like, at the very least manage the floor, control the floor in critical moments. And it was like he just let them youngsters let it unravel.
And it's interesting, he said after the game, you know, we felt disjointed is what he said, and which is a bit frustrating for a team that played together last year. Like, it, yeah. And we're in year two of the system, and year two under Udoka that we were disjointed, and you are, as you said, you're the point guard, you're the veteran presence, that your thought is, hey, get us back.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to expect Fred to go in there and just light it up, light the box score up every night. And given the way that it is a tug of war, it's a give and take with him and some of the other ball handlers. And I understand that, but man, at the very least, it's like Dylan Brooks. Like you expect him to be one of the more physical defensive players and to be somewhat of an enforcer when need be, and be a guy that holds guys accountable on the defensive end of the floor and kind of sets the tempo. At the very least, I need you to do that. Right? Like, to me, Fred is a guy that, at the very least, I need you to command the floor in critical moments of the game when you're on the floor. And to me, it looked like he just took a back seat and kind of let it unravel.
Yeah, to me, like, the big things that stuck out numbers-wise to me was they just got their asses handed to them on the boards.
Yeah.
It was like Sengun was by himself down there. He got 18, but, I mean, they had four guys with at least 8 rebounds or more. And then the three-point line, and this is going to be a problem. And the hope was Reed Sheppard would add to that. Now, it was just his first game, and I think there was an injury thing where he had a wrap around his stomach area, chest area. So he didn't really get in it. But, man, I mean, they're 13 for 43 from three. Like, you have a lead. At some point, hey, man, let's go to the basket. At some point, let's do something else as opposed to just sitting back here and just bombs away. And I mean, Fred and in particular Jalen Green, who was 5 for 15 himself.
Those two together, I mean, 7 for 26.
Like, I mean, we're just gonna keep firing these suckers up.
Yeah,
you know, and I think there is a part of why he only has 2 points in the fourth quarter. Sengun, right there, where you got to go. So look, not gonna go crazy. Yes, there's 80.
Don't you do it. Don't you say that again.
There's 82 games.
We're not doing that on the drive.
But I mean, right now, you look at this. They got the Grizzlies, who won a game last night. And this is a different team with Ja Morant. Ja Morant looks like the version of Jalen Green that everyone wishes they could have.
Yeah.
Here and they're a better team. And then you play the Spurs for a couple, and you get the Mavericks. Like, I mean, those are teams that are at least on your level, if not a bit higher. So they got to get it together and not have these situations. But hopefully they'll play better. And this was just a tough first start. People texting in, get used to it. The Rockets are not a good team. I think
we've seen one game, man.
Yeah, we've seen one game, and based off last year, I mean, you saw one of the biggest turnarounds we've ever seen in NBA history, if not the biggest turnaround. And I mean, they are a solid basketball team at the very least right now that could get better and that can grow and get better. And you know, it's just we've got to get past guys just disappearing. You know, Jabari Smith, another one. You know, where were you at least on the boards? You know, we gotta get guys not disappearing anymore. All right, coming up 5 o'clock hour. This is a big hour here as we're here live. Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza. Come on out here, right on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come on down, have a good time. We still have 3 more prizes to hook people up with. 2 4-pack of tickets to go see U of H and A&M play an exhibition basketball game at the Fertitta Center, and the big one will be given up here later on in the 5 o'clock hour. A pair of tickets and a pair of wristbands to the Lions and Texans game, Sunday Night Football, not this coming Sunday, or in about 2 weeks here. Coming up, you'll have a chance to win and attend that game. All right, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, a little 5 o'clock fire, the injury report. We'll kind of shed some light on more guys. It's official now, guys that did not practice. And there are some thoughts on if these guys are going to be able to go that's missed the last couple of practices. Also, Thursday Night Football, the Vikings, can they get back on track against the Rams? All that and more as we continue running and riding right here live on The Drive.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.